Welcome to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show on this Friday morning, 4th of September 2020. Andrew May is with you for the next half an hour as we run you through the latest in the world of sport. And hasn't there been plenty happening ahead of a massive weekend? It feels like it's already started with a couple of games of footy last night. Let's start with Sydney. What about this for an upset over the D's, who might have cost themselves a finals chance last night, going down to the Swans in the end by 21 points.
Swans are the underdog coming in, and from the outset they made a statement. Lever gets one last possession towards the wing, but they've got something brewing, the Sydney Swans.
Meanwhile, at Metricon Stadium last night, Carlton led for much of the game, but GWS showing their class in the final term, kicking 4-0 to beat the Blues and end their finals hopes by 9 points.
Down to 13 seconds. They can just share the ball around here, GWS. And this is an important win. A long, long way from their best for three of the quarters, BT, but when it matters, when the final siren sounds, they are in front.
And they cling to a spot in the top eight.
Meanwhile, there was a bit of Thursday night action in the NRL as well. Melbourne Storm are in second spot on the table. They will be chasing Penrith for a little bit longer, though, as they closed out a 25 points to 12 win over the Brisbane Broncos.
Through a hole, throws a dummy, goes to the line, he'll score! Jordan Rickey, he grabs the first try of his
lots to get through on what will be a very busy edition of The Breakfast by the rest of your footy news, NRL, cricket, boxing, rugby, NBA, US, PGA and the US Open, plus plenty more of live sport as well. It's all coming your way in the next 30 minutes. Stay tuned.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Just watching a bit of Johnny Millman in action as well, the Australian at the US Open, currently in a first set tiebreak. He leads the tiebreak 4-3 against Francis Tiafoe of the USA. So fingers crossed for John Millman. We'll bring you the rest of the live scores in just a second, with plenty of action overnight in the US Open and plenty to come later this morning as well. Some more good news for the Aussies. Speaking of which, Craig Gabriel will have it all covered for you on The Breakfast Club with Half White in Rama after 6 this morning. Dean Lester and Nick Quinn after 7, the most important half hour of your week as they look at a big meeting tomorrow. Fiend Stakes Day at the Valley should be an absolute cracker, with the return of surprise baby too after Paul Bruska spoke on RSN earlier in the week. Very much looking forward to the Melbourne Cup favourite starting its preparation this spring. After 7 o'clock, after Dean and Quinny have finished at 7.30, Patrick Kisnorbo, that was a bit of a surprise yesterday, he was named as the new Melbourne City coach. He'll join us before 8 o'clock, and then Boomer Harvey after 8 this morning for the Friday footy preview. Plenty to dissect from last night and plenty to look forward to this weekend in the world of footy. Then from 8.30, Racing Pulse with Michael Felgate. 9 o'clock, the Friday Form Focus. If you can't catch it, make sure you listen to it on podcast with Michael Felgate and Mick Shea. Or head to rsn.net.au. We'll tweet it on our Facebook and Twitter channels as well. And then after 10.30, Gareth Hall, as he always does on a Friday, leading us up to the first and a big weekend of racing. He'll whip round with all the form for the weekend and today's meetings. Plus, looking forward to Dean and Hamish, as always, on a Friday. Haven't those two just taken over the Friday premium listening from 10.30? Hamish McLaughlin and Dean Lester joining Gareth Hall. So a lot to come on RSN. If you miss any of it, make sure you subscribe to the podcast or head to rsn.net.au to check out the audio at a later stage. Let's start the Breakfast Bite, though, with the footy from last night. And we'll start with the early game, as Melbourne cost themselves, or perhaps have cost themselves, a finals berth with a disappointing loss last night to the Sydney Swans, who won by 21 points. The final score, 10-7-67, the Swans, 6-10-46. The D's, who should have been further in front at quarter time, and then the Swans came out and kicked 5-0 with the Breeze in the second term. Let's have a listen to what Simon Goodwin had to say about what could be the most costly loss for the season.
Incredibly frustrating first half. You know, I thought our start was really poor. You know, Sydney were really good. You know, they came, they hunted, they had good pressure, but, you know, our ability to win critical contests in the first half, we got, you know, outworked, and, you know, execution wasn't to AFL standard, and we paid the price in that first half. So that was really frustrating, you know. But, you know, second half, we worked our way back in the game. We had some good opportunities. The game looked more like our type of game, and, you know, we couldn't execute in front of goal.
Disappointing stuff for Demons fans last night. We'll hear from John Longmire, who was very happy after the win later on in the show. Let's head to the later game last night, where Carlton might have cost themselves a finals berth as well. GWS running over the top of them, 6-12-48 to the Blues, 5-9-39. At halftime, GWS had kicked 1-9. It's a pretty poor game to watch. Very hard to get through. But the Giants closing out 9-point victory. Here's David Teague on what might be the final nail in the coffin for Carlton's finals chances this year.
Frustrating end. For three quarters, I was really proud of the way we played. We probably let them mark the ball a bit too much early. And then in the second half, I thought we actually squeezed the ground. We got the game played in our half. I think we had the inside 50s, but unfortunately, there's probably a couple of factors that really hurt late. Our ball use going in 50 is wet, slippery, and we tried to go shallow. We kicked it short, inside 50, and we got turned over and allowed them to tack off a shorter pitch. And we lost some critical contest behind the ball late in the game. We had a plus back there, and their ability to get through and then score. I think they had four goals from five inside 50s in that last quarter. So we need to be better.
Need to be better. Both of those teams have plenty to think about over what will be a pretty long summer. Melbourne and Carlton both losing last night. Melbourne sitting in ninth spot now on the ladder with 28 points. There's still only one win outside the eight. So it's not all doom and gloom for the D's, but they're going to have to turn around their patchy form in the last couple of rounds. Carlton now two games out of the eight, and that looks done and dusted for the Blues for 2020. Let's now head up north. We'll start with Chris Fagan, who spoke about a Gabba Grand Final.
I don't know whether the people of Brisbane realise what a big event the AFL Grand Final is. I've been fortunate enough to be involved in five of them, one at Melbourne and four at the Mighty Hawks. Actually, maybe five at the Hawks. Yeah, because we got beaten in one. So Grand Final week is out of this world. It's really special, you know. There's lots of colour, fanfare, emotion, the whole thing. And Brisbane's going to get to experience that, so what a wonderful opportunity it is for our state to feel that, to get the vibe, and to have the game here at the Gabba. It's just fantastic for our code, and, you know, hopefully what will happen is that lots of kids out there that might have been choosing other sports might just suddenly jump on the AFL bandwagon, and it makes our code stronger. But we'll be aspiring to be there, and there'd be nothing greater than for there to be a grand final at the Gabba with the Brisbane team in it. But in terms of what we need to do, our focus is really narrow. It's on Collingwood this week, and we've got some tough games coming up, and we've just got to make sure we try and finish as high up the ladder as we can to give ourselves the best opportunity. I understand everyone's excitement, but as I say, there's 11 teams down in Melbourne every year. They get the grand final down there every year. They don't all win it, so it's hard to do. And we must remember that those teams have been up here for a long time now, and they play a lot of footy at the Gabba, and they're used to the climate. So a lot of those advantages that we've traditionally have, I think, have somewhat disappeared.
More from Chris Fagan later in the Breakfast Bite as we look towards tonight's game between the Pies and the Lions. But this is what Peter Volandis had to say yesterday. And of course, we know his work from racing and harness racing over the years, but also, of course, now basically running the NRL. This is what he had to say about the push into Queensland from the AFL.
We just wish to announce today that the NRL Grand Final will be held in Cairns. We try to find a golf course to do it in, but unfortunately they're all occupied. So, no, that's not what we're here for. They can huff, they can puff, but they won't blow our house down. It's solid brick. And, devalue our support base. They are solid rugby league people. And when you're a solid rugby league person, You might get a little crumb here from someone else, but you don't take it. You stay solid. And these rugby league people will stay solid. You know, I'm a rugby league person through and through. They can throw AFL, they can throw whatever sport they want. I'll always be a rugby league person. And I think that I replicate the majority of people in Queensland. You know, it'll be a bit of entertainment in the short term, but in the long term they'll come back, especially when Brisbane does a bit better, and that hopefully will come sooner rather than later. And maybe a second Brisbane team may also activate that thirst up in Queensland.
Peter Vlandy speaking yesterday as the NRL revealed their new CEO. More to come from the footy world later in the breakfast bite. But let's head to the NRL world now, where yesterday Andrew Abdo, who has been in the interim position as CEO at the moment, was finally confirmed as the man to take over permanently. This is what he had to say about trying to continually find a few savings, because the game needs to save $50 million over the next 12 months.
We've removed significant costs in 2020 just to survive. But it doesn't stop there. There'll be an ongoing search for value and an ongoing search for efficiency, because we need to make sure that we are financially secure going forwards into the future.
One of the things they want to introduce, of course, as you heard there, was a second Brisbane team. Here's Abdo and Peter Vlandy's on that expansion and when it might take place.
So far as it's feasible, and so far as that it's going to generate value for the game. And that is what our job is. Our job is to think about what is going to grow value for all the stakeholders. If the business case stacks up, then why wouldn't we look at it?
There's no time set as to when we introduce a second Brisbane team. It might be a year away, 2 years away, 3 years away. But I stress again that the business case has to stack up.
The NRL result last night, Penrith 25 beating Brisbane 12. The Broncos' miserable season continues, sitting in second last on the ladder. Penrith, meanwhile, on top of the table and now 5 points clear of the Melbourne Storm, who do play tonight against South Sydney. Big game there at 5-8 at ANZ Stadium. Let's hear from Craig Bellamy. He spoke yesterday on Cameron Smith. Wants an answer fairly soon from the Storm skipper as to his future, but also was asked about whether he'd make a good coach. Here's Craig Bellamy.
Doesn't want to be a full-time coach. I think he'd be an ideal representative coach, to be quite honest. He's got the right to make up his mind when it suits. Ideally, you know, the club would like to know as soon as possible.
To the other code of rugby now, Dave Vessels from the Melbourne Rebels. The coach here speaking about the opportunity ahead of the Rebels at 3 p.m. tomorrow afternoon to put their foot in their first final series.
Yeah, and it's also nice that the game's in Newcastle. It's we don't have to drive 2 hours to get to the game like we have to all the other ones. I think the other important thing was that, you know, our understanding was that the Force would have to go into quarantine if we played in Sydney. So this enables them, I think, to go home without having to quarantine, which is, you know, if I was in their shoes, that would be a nice thing. So we're excited to play. It's kind of finals time, which everyone wants to be involved in, you know. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
And just before we head to the break, a bit of an update from the US Open. Johnny Millman was 4-2 up in that tiebreak. Unfortunately, he lost the tiebreak 8-6. So Francis Tiafoe takes the first set against Millman 7-6. We'll update you on the rest of the scores from overnight, including some good news for an Australian on the other side of this at 14-6.
RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Here's Butler with three. Butler with two. With one. Butler against Matthews gets it away and no good. Do we have a foul? We do. A foul is called. And Jimmy Butler can win it at the line.
And he did with two free throws. Jimmy Butler, SA, leading the Heat to a 2-point win over the Bucks in game two of their conference semifinal series. 116-114. Miami now leading that series 2-0. Earlier yesterday, the Houston Rockets KO'd OKC 4-3. They win that series with a 104-102 victory. Those are the couple of NBA results from yesterday. The Celtics play the Raptors today, with Boston leading that series 2-0. And then later on, the Clippers and the Nuggets in Game 1 of their conference semi-final series. Let's check in with the scores from the US Open. In completed matches overnight, some good news for the Australians. Alex Diminor is through to the third round after winning in four sets. He beat Richard Gasquet 6-4, 6-3, 6-7, 7-5. So a nice solid performance there from Australia's highest ranked player heading into this tournament. In terms of the women's side of things, Sophia Kenin getting through the number two seed in straight sets, 6-4, 6-3. And plenty of live scores happening at the moment, including John Milburn, who we'll keep a close eye on. He fought back from a double breakdown in the first set to force the tiebreak. He was up 4-2 in the tiebreak and then unfortunately lost the tiebreak. So a bit of a roller coaster for John Milburn in the first set there. He went down 7-6. Francis Tiafoe has taken the opening game of the second set. Games on serve there. He leads one love in the second. So good luck to John Milman over the next little period. In terms of some of the other live matches at the moment, 14th seed Grigor Dimitrov is up a set and a break. And then Dominic Thiem is up two sets to love and he leads 5-2 in the third. So the number two seed looking to close things out there nice and easily. On court at the moment. We'll bring you up to date with everything else that is happening in terms of the US Open. Craig Gabriel to join the guys on the Breakfast Club in about half an hour's time. Let's head to the cricket world now. Aaron Finch speaking yesterday about Manus Labuschagne's chances in T20 cricket. Unfortunately for Manus, despite making a century in the little intra-squad game they played, don't think he'll be playing against England in the T20s.
Minimal games that he's played, he's had an opportunity to bat at the top of the order and he hits the ball in the middle of the bat more often than most other players and he hits the ball in the gap. So that's a pretty good recipe for T20 cricket and all cricket. So we're pretty settled on the way that we structure up our T20 side at the moment though. So yeah, he played nicely the other day, but I think he might have to wait a little bit longer in T20 cricket.
Bit of golf from overnight. It is the tournament at Valderrama, which is a beautiful location. And on the European Tour, nice to see Jake McLeod doing well as well. He's even after his first round, just two shots behind the leader, Syme of Scotland. It's a pretty bunch field, to be honest, at the top of the leaderboard. In terms of the other Australians, Wade Ormsby is in a tie for 35th with three over in his opening round. And Zach Murray shot six over, so a fair way to get back for him. And Jason Scrivener, who shot eight over. And they're the only other couple of Aussies in the field. So good luck to young Jake McLeod, who is only two shots off the pace after the first round there at the Valderrama Golf Course. The PGA Tour, of course, kicks off its final tournament of the year, the Tour Championship, a little later on tonight, 2 a.m. Cameron Champ will get things underway. Mark Leishman and Cameron Smith, the two Aussies, a part of the field. They're in the third group to tee off, so about 2:20 tomorrow morning. Look forward to hopefully seeing what they can do over the next 4 days in what is a pretty lucrative tournament at the end of the year. Let's hear from the man who's leading the charge heading in there, world number one, Dustin Johnson.
I mean, yeah, being in number one position right now before we start is obviously a little bit of an advantage. You get a two-shot lead. And, you know, but obviously, as we all know, East Lake is a difficult golf course and, you know, there's still four rounds to play. So, you know, it's not like I got a two-shot lead going into the final round. Still got four rounds to play. So I'm still going to have to go out and play some really good, you know, golf for 4 days if I want to be a FedEx Cup champion at the end.
Dustin Johnson there speaking yesterday. So we'll wait and see what happens over the next 4 days on the PGA Tour. Well, let's head back to the footy from last night in case you're just waking up and don't know the scores. It was a bit of a shock early on with Sydney beating Melbourne at Kazzaley Stadium by 21 points. Let's have a listen to John Longmire, who would be a very happy man after a win late in the season.
Well, we still got some way to go, but we played the best team on top of the ladder last week over in on their home deck, and we were found wanting in the first half. Our second half was pretty good, and then we lacked a bit of method. And so this week, there were some areas we took out of that we needed to improve, particularly our midfield. And we certainly did improve that this week. So tactically, we were able to execute what we wanted to do, and then but it was always off the foundation of a really hard start to the game. We had 21 tackles or something in the first quarter against the wind, and that helped because we you know, we didn't want to be on the back foot when, you know, that wind was really strong, so we wanted to be even with them at half time, and to kick a couple of goals was a really good bonus against it.
To Leon Cameron now, after the Giants finished Carlton's finals hopes with a 9-point victory over the Blues last night at Metricon.
You know, we've been really good in close games, and we've in the last 3 or 4 years we've really closed out some close games. But yeah, you've got to get reward when you go inside 50, and you've got to get reward when you're having shots for goal, because yeah, that's what we didn't do, and they punished us when we didn't. He's burst onto the scene, and you know, it's a pretty fair start. You know, I think he's kicked 8 goals in his first 3 games, and we love what he's doing. But then he had another set of challenges tonight. There was different opponents on him, and but then to stand up in the last quarter and kick 2 really important goals is great. And I thought Bobby Hill had a really crucial set shot. So I thought our kids just kept hanging in there and hanging in there. It wanted no illusion that, you know, every game we're playing, you either slip in the 8 or you stay out.
Absolutely. Leon Cameron there speaking last night after a pretty solid victory in the end over Carlton, coming from behind for most of the evening to close out a victory. Now, the Pies later on tonight will take on the Brisbane Lions. This is a must-win game for Collingwood, especially considering the results this round. They can really solidify their spot in the 8. They've made 2 changes. Greenwood and Lynch come in. Mayne is injured and Darcy Cameron has been omitted. 2 changes as well for the Brisbane Lions. Rich and Coleman come in. Witherden has been omitted and Lincoln McCarthy has been suspended. Let's have a listen to Chris Fagan, who spoke about the challenge of Collingwood later tonight at the Gabba.
Yeah, I think both teams are, you know, going pretty well. We probably had a quieter game against North Melbourne a few weeks ago, but either side of that, we've had a good win against the Dogs, who are in great form, and St Kilda, who are equally in great form. So we feel like we're tracking along really well. So, it should be an interesting game. Both sides in a bit of form, looking to improve coming into finals, make for a great clash. I thought last year we got the opportunity to play Collingwood here on a Thursday night, and I thought we were a little bit overawed. We sort of probably carried on as a club a little bit too much. It's been pretty low key this week, and we just want to put a performance on the board, and that's all that we care about.
Chris Fagan speaking. Yes, so this is actually the end of round 15 on a Friday night. Very strange fixture, and then the start of a new round tomorrow as North Melbourne take on Port Adelaide at 7:40 tomorrow night. So plenty happening over the next 24 hours in the footy world. Let's hear from Tom Hawkins. Now, a lot of questions as to whether Joel Selwyn and Zach Tuibu right for this week. Here's what the key forward had to say yesterday.
I actually haven't seen them this week. I can't, to be honest, give you a clear response, but I'd imagine they'll be both pushing to play this week.
Tom Hawkins there speaking. Yes, they both a chance this week. Some handy ins for Geelong at the business end of the season as they look to go a couple of steps better than they did in 2019. That's it for the Breakfast Pod on this Friday morning. Don't forget, half Whitey and Rammer up after the 6 o'clock news with the Breakfast Club. Michael Felgate with a massive preview of what's happening tomorrow at the Valley from 8:30 and Friday Form Focus from 9. And then Gareth Hall to take you through to the weekend, 10:30 this morning with RSN Central. Hamish and Dean, a big part of his show, and all the form and all the winners and have a huge weekend of racing. We'll catch you again Monday. Have a great weekend. We'll chat then.